Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us today. This is an hour devoted to learning something more, not just about the world we live in, but about how, what, and why we think as we do. An hour for the open-minded, willing to challenge some of those old ideas behind what we think we know, who we are, and who we might become. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is open, and my partner, Ravinder, awaits you there now. You can log on by going to eldontaylor.com/chat. So, Ravinder, time to say hello to everyone and spread your good words for the day.
Well, hello, everyone. There's always good words for the day because it's a fabulous, fabulous day. So I think everyone should, we should send our sun to everyone. I've been hearing some people still have snow, and that's too sad. But come join me in the chat room, and we can share our thoughts on today's show. That's eldontaylor.com/chat. Do come say hi.
All right. Every week I read some of your letters as our way of paying respect to the very important role you play in making this show successful. Last week, our guest was Melody Beatty, and we discussed codependence from both a personal and a cultural perspective. Loretta wrote, "What a wonderful show with Melody Beatty. I did so enjoy it and so much I could relate to. Thank you once again, Dr. Taylor and Ravinder, for the great guests that you share with us." Mark commented, "It was a pleasure listening to Melody Beatty on the radio show. I can't believe I haven't read Codependent No More yet. It's a timeless book and topic. I'll have to pick up a copy." Kelly wrote, "Thank you so much for another great show. Last week's guest was a wonderful and intelligent woman. But I was so glad when Ravinder spoke up and voiced her disagreement with a guest statement." I'm going to lose my voice here.
Excuse me.
"That Pakistani women have more power than men in their homes. It seems to me that women and girls there have only as much power as the men allow them to have. As for the statement that some women, like those in Egypt, are not ready to step out on their own, I agree. However, they must all be free to make that choice. Misogyny, or the subjugation of any group of people, is not just permissible to me, no matter what terms we may use to try to make it sound all right, including cultural differences." Close quote. Well, and I so agree with you, Kelly. How about you, Rav?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you know, you need to flesh that out a little bit because you did exchange some emails with Melody following the show.
And I want Melody to come back on the show because I think her work in codependence is absolutely vital for everyone. You know, her work has just gone a whole lot further. I think, you know, she's correct. You're not going to change an entire nation out there, but there are lots of individuals within that nation who get to see how we in the West live. And that's the best thing that we can do is to provide an example of what freedom is, because you don't have freedom if you only have the freedom that is given to you.
We'll have some more discussion about that one, no doubt, today, because, well, I'll get to that. All right. Gary wrote, "Enjoy hearing your program on Hay House. Find it extremely interesting and love the guests that you interview. Keep it up." Janet wrote, "I want to express my gratitude for your free InterTalk program. I had downloaded it and was listening daily. It was very subtle and comforting. Then my computer had a tizzy and I lost everything. As I put it back together, things just haven't felt as right. And the only thing missing is the InterTalk downloads running in the background. So I am now adding them back to my life. Sometimes the depth of appreciation comes from a lack. Thank you so much, Eldon, and please thank your lovely wife. She is an inspiration for all. I enjoy your shows. Peace and blessings." Well, thank you, Janet. And for all of you out there, you should have seen Ravinder smile, by the way. Remember, we offer a number of free InterTalk programs on my website as just a part of our own Pay It Forward program. So go get yours today. And it's always a blessing to thank you, lovely princess, for joining me on the show.
Thank you, gorgeous.
Now, it's Lisala, I think. I apologize if I'm saying your name incorrectly. She wrote, "Yes, your CDs actually work. Years ago, I used your money management CD, and I have saved money consistently since." I need you to play that. I'm teasing, of course. George.
You're picking on me.
No, George wrote, "I have been playing the Communicator CD in the background of my office for about a year and a half, I have noticed that I am able to communicate better and keep my composure during tense situations. Gwen wrote, I love your products. I have purchased several of them. And as soon as I get my website up, I plan to become an affiliate. I would recommend you to anyone. Well, thank you, Gwen, and we look forward to your affiliation. Daniel wrote, Eldon Taylor has changed my life. Just reading one of his books, Mind Programming, has had a sincere and profound influence on how I view me and the life around me. It has allowed me to start the process of untangling me from my fears locked deep within my subconscious. Many years with professionals and personal study has not come close to what Eldon Taylor enlightens us with. Well, thank you, Daniel. I'm truly honored by your words, sir. All right, that's all the time we're going to take for letters today, but I do invite you to opine by sending your email to Eldon at EldonTaylor.com or by joining me on Facebook. We can't get all of your letters on the air, but they do impact our programming. And once again, we both appreciate and thank you for your feedback and continued support. Now to today's show. The over-self awakening. Over-self. Now, that's a word we don't hear too much of, even in ecclesiastical circles. Indeed, type it into Microsoft Word, and it is immediately marked in red, denoting, of course, misspelling. So, what is the over-self? Well, that's simple, at least in the New Age or alternative belief system parlance. As the word implies, the over-self is, quote, a person's spiritual self as opposed to the physical body, close quote. So it's not our over-soul, it's our over-self. Perhaps we should ask our guest today what the difference is, if any. But before we get to our guest, let me set the stage some. We have many revealed doctrines that have come to us by way of revelation, direct experience, and often this information becomes encoded in a document, a sacred text. Moses was given the plates and the Torah was given by God. Muhammad received the Quran. The Hindu Vedas are considered divine. The 15,000 handwritten pages produced by the mystic Maria Valtorta were represented as direct dictations from Jesus. The Book of Mormon was given Joseph Smith by the angel Moroni. The Course in Miracles is claimed to be a direct dictation also from Jesus, and so forth. Well, today, we have a new entry, and it's called the Book of Knowledge, the Keys of Enoch. Dr. Hota Hota, or Dr. J.J. Hertak, received the Book of Knowledge. The book is not channeled, but it comes from a direct experience. In the prologue, we read, quote, Help me, O Father, to gather the children of Abraham, Isaiah, John, Amantah, Buddha, Hari, Satchasana, Krishna, and countless other masters into the office of the Christ, so that all godly living beings who are eternal and associated with you on different spiritual planes shall be as one in divine unity. Now that's a challenge, especially at a time in our history when religious differences have the world dealing with such things as jihadists. J.J. Hertog, Ph.D., and Desiree Hertog, Ph.D., are social scientists, futurists, and founders of the Academy for Future Science, an international organization. Professor Hertog, J.J. Hertog, that is a scholar who has written, translated, and published numerous books, including the Book of Knowledge, The Keys of Enoch, The End of Suffering, which is co-authored with physicist Russell Targ, and the 72 Names of the Most High, based on ancient Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek text. Dr. Hertog is also an anthropologist, archaeologist, and was instrumental in finding the Osiris tomb in Egypt through remote sensing. He is well known for his provocative information that ranges from evidence of the UFOs to the development of a new cosmology. Dr. Hertog travels throughout the world and works closely with indigenous people. Dr. Desiree Hertog is co-author with J.J. Hertog of several books, including their latest book, and we'll be talking a lot about it today, entitled Over Self Awakening. The Hertogs have worked extensively in developing countries, including the archaeological sites of Giza and Yucatan. The work is to synthesize a social and philosophical understanding of the contact myths with an eye towards how they apply to the larger cosmic dimensions. Together in their work, they discuss the future model of science, the God code, our quantum mind, and our multidimensional nature. They insist that we are in a time of great changes as we come to the end of a quarantine period. We'll have to discuss that too. So let's get them in here and see if we can unpack some of these ideas in this hour. Welcome to Provocative Enlightenment, Doctors JJ and Desiree Hertuk.
Yes, good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. Eldon, we thank you very much for having us as participants in your great program, Reaching Around Mother Earth.
Well, indeed. Thank you very much. We're honored to have you. Now, for clarity, there may be times that I wish for one or the other of you to answer a question. So if it's all right with you, I'll address you as Dr. JJ. I understand you prefer that. And I'll address your wife, if I may, as Dr. Desiree. And that way I'll be able to direct a question or two at individuals. Will that work for you?
Yeah, that's fine. But hi, and hi to your audience. But sometimes we just both answer. So feel free to just say, you know,
Well, that's great. I I've got many of them going that way. But there are a couple that I want to kind of isolate out here. So before we get fully into your message and your teachings, to introduce you to our audience, let's begin by having you, Dr. JJ, if we can, tell our audience of your original experience that led you to writing, the Book of Enoch, The Keys of Enoch, and then perhaps explain the introduction, where it is stated in a somewhat similar manner to that reported by Joseph Smith in the Mormon literature, and I quote, "While I was in the act of prayer, calling upon the name of the Father, asking to know the meaning of life and for what reason I was called into the world, my room suddenly became full of a different type of light." Close quote. Take it from there.
Take it from the top is simply to say that in a sense of reaching out for answers to the universe and being somewhat perplexed by certain philosophical texts that I was teaching both in the traditions of the East and in the Near East as a young assistant professor at the university system here in California, I began to use the names of God and combine them in a very unique way. I had a background both in linguistics as well as music, and so I began to intone the names of God as we find them in the original Torah text.
The sacred tetragrammation?
Yes, I began to use the names in terms of musical notations, and a morphogenic door energized before me, and I was surrounded by this great pillar of light with a being that was so overwhelming that I really can't put this into conventional common language other than the fact that I was lifted up into another vibratory dimension. I call it a higher state of awareness. And in this consciousness experience, I was shown mental scenarios or mental pictures of the future, which then I put down in this book called The Keys of Enoch that basically is a blueprint of future evolution, showing certain areas of Mother Earth where we would find a connection with the past in terms of ancient civilizations that were around, that were connected with the divine experience, present situations of discovery in the worlds of science, particularly in genetics, biology, and what we now call zero-point energy, and future realities where we would be able to bring together both the scientific and the spiritual side of life so that we would basically graduate into a whole new reality.
Now, the original Book of Enoch, which I think is dated around 160 B.C., for all intent and purposes, where it was embraced by the early leaders of the church, and I think it basically held canonical status, it was later discredited and finally fell under ban by the church. Is the Book of Knowledge, the Keys of Enoch, related in any way to the original book?
In the sense of the authorship coming from a higher source, which identified itself is Enoch. Certainly, an argument can be made that it is part of the same stream of consciousness. In other words, recognizing that there is a divine mind behind creation. And I agree that the early church fathers, Origen and Clement of Alexandria, in Egypt, did accept it as canonical, along with some other writers, but at the councils of Nicaea and other councils, it was put aside as a book, that is to say, the original book of Enoch, as something that was too esoteric.
Right, Eldon. So we feel that is the same Enoch. It's not some modern Enoch or something like that that he encountered, because in addition to Enoch, he also encountered in the higher dimensions that he was taken the angel Metatron, which is also oftentimes associated with Enoch. But I have to say, one of the reasons that the Book of Enoch was taken out of circulation was exactly what you said, that it was only considered to be put into text form kind of closer to the time of Christ, yet it was supposed to be about thousands of years before the time of Christ. And so when they don't have an actual author, they oftentimes would throw out those texts. They actually really have to ascribe an author to the original writing.
Well, yes, that, and I don't disagree with that, but anyone that looks at what happened at some of these councils, particularly the council at Nicaea, you can see that there was a whole lot of politics that went into deciding which book of Paul, which book of John, et cetera, and so forth would be canonized. And there were deliberate efforts to just strike information from the Bible. Let's say, for example, any reference to reincarnation. But I'm glad you got into it, Dr. Desiree, because the Keys of Enoch was before you became involved. So tell us how you did become involved and what attracted you to this work.
Actually, I know I sound young, and of course I was only about 2 years old, but no, I was actually involved at the time of his experience. I was one of his students, and so I met him about 3 months before his experience took place in January 73, and I was a student at the college he was teaching at the time in starting October of 72. So I was involved, and I did see the difference in Dr. Hertag, as many of his students did at that time. And there were some unique things that also took place after the experience. We don't make a big deal, though, I have to say, on the actual experience itself. We rather people, you know, not be judgmental on that, but to look at the information in the Keys of Enoch. And from working with that for the past, which is now scary, but it's 40 years, we decided to come out with something a little bit maybe more simplified and more personalized for people, and that's the new book, The Overself Awakening.
Okay, before we transition there, though, and that's perfect setup, tell us just bottom line, you know, what is the mission of the Keys of Enoch?
As you read from the very beginning of the program, it's to bring together humanity into one spiritual unity and to provide for a positive future in this great change that we're going through. And to that end, Ezra and I have participated in the World Parliament of Religion, often said the gathering of great scholars, philosophers, thinkers from all branches of spiritual and religious tradition who see this as an era of unity and harmony where we begin to realize the divine spark within everyone is more important than the differences that divide according to some theological line.
Right, and if we wanted to bring it down to two main points, I would say we're not alone in the universe, and there's many levels of intelligence, not just the ET, but also higher levels, we'll call them light beings or higher consciousness beings. Also, that we ourselves come from a divine origin, and I think that's very important because many people, of course, you know, hear about Darwinistic evolution, that we came out of the ooze of the earth. But we feel that a lot of it really came from this higher origin of life and that we can interconnect with those beings. And this is, of course, exactly the message of Enoch, whether you look at the Book of Enoch or the Keys of Enoch.
Right. Now, just so I'm clear on this, and so is our audience then, from the prologue, from the setup piece, we're talking about bringing everybody together into the, quote, office of the Christ, close quote. When you refer that way, you're talking to the Christos, the Christ consciousness, you're talking about Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah, the office of the Christ is defined as the office of divine love. In the Keys of Enoch, we have a very extensive vocabulary at the back, which is basically looking at the nuances of historical language. In the New Testament, you have in the Greek, the ha Christos, which means the Christ. In the philosophical sense, it means the power or the office out of which divine evolution manifested itself, personified in a very unique way in Christ Jesus, in the sense of unconditional love, humility, and work with all humanity. It's that elevated sense of the Christ we're talking of that is the Christed nature which we all have on Mother Earth as part of the divine birthright of what it is said in the first part of Genesis, that we were created into the image of God.
Right, and not just denying the physical manifestation of the Christ, but to say the Christ also can work with Buddha, the Christ can also work with various other teachers who have come to the planet, and does, that this is a whole program of life creation that, you know, the Buddhist required Buddha to evolve to that Christ consciousness, you know, the Christian.
Or Buddha consciousness.
Yeah, but also I'm saying Christ consciousness in this sense. Yeah.
Right. All right, before we leave this subject, I want our audience to know that the Book of Knowledge, the Keys of Enoch, which is what we've been discussing right now, is it's a challenge. But if you're a student of metaphysics, if you enjoy philosophy, religious history, religious comparative religion, it's a great book. Go get the book, read it. May not agree with everything, but it's a great book. All right, now I'm going to, let's go right now to the Over-Self Awakening, which is your new book. And in the setup piece, again, I discussed this some. I assume that you're referring to a person's higher self or spiritual self with the term over-self, as opposed to, and I guess I would ask you, how do you set that apart from, say, over-soul? What's intended by the use of the word?
Right. Well, actually, the Over-Self Awakening, the book, is based on the Keys of Enoch, and there's a definition in the back of the Keys of Enoch book on over-self body. I think you probably had seen that. And it is the
right.
Pre-existent higher body of light, which means we had a form before the manifestation into flesh down here. And it exists for spiritual, physical beings. So it not only is this over-soul, but it's also a higher soul, kind of tends to be that which maybe animals have souls, rocks have souls in certain cosmologies. So soul is everything that brings life, and this is, in a sense, the higher self that is what we call soul spirit. And I know many people think that spirit is the same as soul, but we've defined it as separate, as different, as even a higher aspect to the being who has the spirit, connected a little bit with the power of the Holy Spirit, that there's that divine spirit connected with soul, and that would be the over-self.
Okay. Now, You're on record, both of you for that matter, as believing that there is a massive awakening happening now. What reasons do you have behind that conviction?
Well, we've had the opportunity to work with many leading thinkers throughout the world, including Barbara Mark Subert, who's very well known on Hay House. We recognize the consciousness shift taking place. In our lectures throughout the world to thousands of people, particularly young people who realize something is changing in the way that we're looking at life, the environmental situation, the economic situation, are just small aspects of what we recognize as a thrust of the inner psyche, the inner self, to look at the greater synthesis. What is possible, and what is now appearing from the cosmic creation to our doorstep.
And I have to say, if we can switch back and forth between books, because we often do that, that the Keys of Enoch said that we're in a time of preparation because, you know, we have been quarantined. You mentioned that at the beginning of the program. We have been kind of protected that whatever happens here is all kind of somewhat of our own doing, not completely, but at a certain point, we're going to interconnect with other life forms. We're going to be consciously more
and
aware.
Dr. Desiree, I'm going to have you hold that right there.
Okay.
We've got a hard break coming up. I don't want the computer to kick us out, miss
okay.
anything of what you have to say. We're speaking with Drs. JJ and Desiree Hurtak about the Keys of Enoch. If you're not already in our chat room, now's a great time to join in the conversation. We have a short film for you during the break featuring Dr. JJ Hurtak. Just go to eldentaylor.com/chat. Now stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up after a few words from some of our friends.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Drs. James, excuse me, Dr. JJ, and Desiree Hertak about the Oversoul Awakening. But before we get back to the show, I want to invite you to join me on Facebook. I post regularly everything from where I am and what's on next to the latest in science, technology, and consciousness studies, and from time to time, some of my own opinions about the world we live in. I also want to remind you to be sure and register to receive my free newsletter when you visit my site and get your free MP3. Now, one more item of business. I will be speaking along with many of your favorite Hay House authors at the I Can Do It conference in Vancouver, Canada, and I'd love to meet each and every one of you. So if you can attend, please plan to do so. Put it on your calendars now. It's April 20th and 21st. You can get all of the details at hayhouse.com. You can find them on my website as well. All right, let's get back to our show. Before the break, we were discussing the end of a quarantine period and a new awakening. And, of course, we've discussed this idea of awakening consciousness on this show many times. I think it probably all started with much of the hype that was surrounding December 21st, 2012. And for many, it appears nothing happened. Indeed, you know, if you remember, I spoke with many experts leading up to the event, including Jose Arguelles, the man who found the Mayan calendar. And like myself, they felt there was nothing to it beyond what we might ordinarily expect from the end of the Gregorian calendar cycle. Now, some who insisted originally this was an eschatological event changed their initial stories and it became a great awakening, even a so-called quickening event, something that seems quite convenient to folks, if you will, by the psychologist in me. So with that said, you have an opinion about the Mayan calendar, and I believe it differs from mine. Please share it with the audience.
Well, Desiree and I have always placed the emphasis on the positive side of the planetary changes surrounding us on all sides, and we were privileged to speak to a very, very large audience gathered in Cancun and also Chichen Itza on that remarkable time, which Mayan scholars refer to as the 21st of December, not as a negative event, but as a quickening or a event into a higher consciousness experience.
Right, Eldon. So we were all at Chichen Itza on December 21st, but we also promoted, and it was the key players for an event that took place the 2 days afterwards called Beyond 2012. So that was our real thrust, is to say, you know, let's move beyond. What does that mean for everyone? So it's not that, you know, we didn't expect in any way, shape, or form the end of the world, or we wouldn't have planned December 22nd and 23rd, our event. But we had some great people there and sharing their thoughts on the future of the planet, and I think that that's what's really important.
It was also connected with the Shift Network. And we had many outstanding friends from all over the world convene, and we celebrated really the sense of unity with the Mayans, the Lacedonian Indian people from Yucatan and other people throughout the world, in recognizing that we have to get beyond what I would call this artificial reinterpretation of history that sort of locks us into events of nullification, neutralization, and negativity to one of exuberance, of rediscovery that we are interconnected with the much larger evolutionary plan called the High Evolution, the Keys of Enoch. We see this also in the work of scientists like Russell Targ, Elizabeth Rauscher, who are interested in remote viewing, remote sensing, all of this paranormal, paraphysical reality that's hitting us from all directions. So we see this as an opportunity to share a higher story, and that's what we did.
Okay, and that makes perfect sense to me, and indeed I might even add to that, whenever you can bring a gathering of people together, focus on unifying the peoples of the world, if it's to do no more than to meditate on peace and love, it has an impact, and indeed the hard research shows that that is the truth. We've watched crime rates drop in places like Washington, D.C. as a result of group meditation. So I commend you on what you did. Apparently you don't have quite as much a difference in opinion about the Mayan calendar as I thought we might have. You argue for some pretty vast changes as occurring to us most of them right now. What are these changes, please?
Well, let me start. I know right before the break in the half hour, we were talking about this is what the Keys of Enoch are all about. They said that we are moving into a greater consciousness awareness and awakening, and it works on every level of science, from the genetics, you know, now have cloning and stem cells, from astrophysics, we're talking about multi-universes, and from archaeology, we're looking at, you know, the first hominids being 7.2 or million years ago, and also the possibility of pyramids around the world, and also the possibility of life being in the new world of man, which say man being in the new world much earlier than Christopher Columbus and a few Indians.
So this is the era of connecting the dots, and this is what the work of the Academy is, to go out into archaeology, geology, astrophysics, space law, medicine, music, and see how all of this connects, not just to talk about this in a metaphor, but actually to go out and do the field research and bring it together.
Okay, when you bring it all together, what do you see globally happening?
We see people throughout the world, particularly young people at various universities, looking for a consciousness cosmology, a tie-in of how a changing world, a world where we are looking at non-renewable resources diminishing, where we're looking at the sliding scale of values in some areas of just the economic gameplay, make us realize that we must have a grassroots evolution revolution towards something that is more beneficial for the human race. And this is a time that I'd like to announce that we have this wonderful film called Witness of the Wayshowers, Wisdom of the Wayshowers, with Barbara Mark Subbert and ourselves and astronaut Mitchell going into greater detail. And I just would commend this to the audience to realize that we are a resource for many films and studies on a variety of issues that bring us together.
But really, just look at the Internet. I mean, we're now a unity of culture, and or getting there. I know your previous program was talking about the separations that exist in various cultures. But, you know, ultimately, we're moving much closer than we ever could have before. And that's all part of what we feel is we're getting ready to go and be part of a cosmic universe, literally, where we can eventually get off the planet. We're part of the Mars Society, where people are looking at moving at least to Mars, just as a very small expedition.
Oh, talking about habitats in the next century, but the preparation has to come now by not having militarization in outer space, realizing that it's the common resource for all humanity, and making
identifying a lot of opportunities, particularly, you know, those that are futuristic. I mean, we now know, we learned this last week, that Mars would support life. So, you know, I guess what I am hearing from you, where I embrace it, where it's exciting, it runs contrary to the information that I'm aware of. I mean, we see an ever-increasing number of young people particularly becoming atheistic and agnostic and taking up those positions. And we do see the world globally on the brink of what could be seen as a third world war. We see great danger out there as opposed to unification. I do see the potential, but I also see this other. Do you believe that the other is being brought about because of the nature of urgency in bringing us all together?
Yes, I do see the crisis situation as bringing us to a point of looking for deeper answers and bringing about the sociological and psychological pressures to make this quantum change. And although the press, the electronic media, tends to give us a negative, what I would call cosmic turnoff, if you look more carefully at the grassroots movements of what we see in our work in Africa, Asia, and East Europe, you're seeing young people look towards a higher synthesis. And again, I want to tell our audience to be aware of a film called Solar Evolution by Dieter Boers that brings together some of the great European scientists and engineers and scholars reaching a younger audience. So we have a revolution taking place in media that's so important. And this is the shifting of consciousness that's so relevant that we must begin to understand it's coming from a different direction.
But Eldon, the choice is up to us, and I know you feel that same way, and it's a matter of really understanding. Without the knowledge that we've gained in science, we would not be able to make those choices. Without an understanding of the unity of culture, we probably would not be able to make those choices. But the bottom line is we still have to make the choice.
Yeah, and it's an important choice the world is facing in the next few years. You also speak about higher states of consciousness in your book, and the equivalent to enlightenment or nirvana. I mean, let me say that differently. When I read about the higher states, it would appear to me that you're equating them with the Buddhist, Hinduist notion of nirvana. Is that right or wrong?
And the answer is yes, but it's a yes plus. We accept the fact that there are the dualistic divine religions of the West, but also the non-dualistic divine religions of the East. And nirvana simply is not an implanted pulse generator that's put under the scalp by neuropsychologists. It's not a state of excellence only for those of one religious tradition. It's an acceleration of consciousness into a state of realizing that we are multidimensional, non-local beings working with the divine experience on all levels.
And since we're the Academy for Future Science, we've worked with people and done some ourselves of remote viewing, and this is the ability, like Russell Targ had started with Hal Pudoff, to look and be here, like in California, or I think you're in Washington, and see something that's over in Europe or see something that's in Africa and actually instantaneously be there. So this has been proven. The military, army, and all those other agencies have worked with this. So how does this relate? How does this relate to the spiritual knowledge, to the Buddhist knowledge? The Buddhists always told us that everything is interconnected and that we can be everywhere we want to be. And that's what is at the heart of some of our thought in terms of cosmic awareness.
The bottom line is life is eternal and universal. And remote viewing, remote sensing, remote healing shows that there are basically no hidden truths or doors that lock up, as it were, the life spark, that we are connected with all people and all realities, but that has to be harmonized. And this is where we come in with our music and our art and our higher science. This is so important, and this is why we commend Hay House.
You know, I hate to interrupt you there, but, you know, science, I suppose, can be likened sometimes to the surgeon's scalpel. It can do great harm as well as save lives. Someone that we've had on this show, and I've done a lot of research in this before, I've had conversations with Ingo Swann. Major Ed Dames headed the SRA research for our government, and in fact was twice decorated for work that was carried out by remote viewers under SRA, where Pudoff did some of his initial work. And Ingo was the star. I'm sure you know that. He's the guy that never missed.
He illustrated the cover of the book that we did with Russell Targ.
Okay. According to Ed Dames, we're headed into a very bad period where, according to him and his remote viewing people, the Earth is about to become the subject of a rotisserie. We're going to be barbecued by solar flares. The outlook that we're getting from remote viewers is anything but optimistic, and that's my point here. How do we take, you know, the fact that remote viewing is an aspect of a human possibility and suddenly turn it into evidence for the spiritual? Forgive me, but that's my question.
Yeah, no, very good question. Of course, Ed Dames is known as, like, the doomsdayer. But, you know, Russell Targ did a lot of good work, and Ed wasn't really at SRI, that's Stanford Research Institute International. He came a little bit later with the military.
Right.
Ingo was, who just passed away, I have to say, within the last month, sadly. He was a great person. He also was kind of a little bit feeling all the energies and realizing the planet isn't really moving into an upward spiral. That was what he was tapping into. What Russell has determined is really, and he's done this study on precognition, you can only predict about 2 to 3 weeks out to be really, really accurate. And then other possible, we could say, quantum realities take place. So we all have the ability to change those futures. We have a great friend, Akreta Mutwa, who's a Zulu shaman, and he says prophecy is really only to tell us warning signs and then to make the difference. And, of course, you know the scroll of Jonah, which I often quote, you know, God says Nineveh was going to be destroyed. They changed. Nineveh wasn't destroyed. Of course, Jonah looked like the idiot. But, you know, these are all just these are realities that can take place, but they're one quantum possibility, and we have many more options if we could be warned.
So this is the entanglement. It can be the worst of times physically, but it can be the best of times spiritually. We have to set our eyes set on this higher evolutionary reality that the keys of Enoch speak of. We're going to have people who may choose to program themselves out of existence on localized areas, but we have also those who are going to connect with the cosmic cultures. This is going to be discussed more and more in Washington and other places as scientists behind the scenes come out with their statements and affirmations that there are many life forms in the universe. We're going to have opportunities from these other life levels to connect with that I feel will provide the expertise and the directions that we need as a galactic humanity. So the emphasis we have is on the spiritual, the higher evolution, rather than the dialectic of the lower evolution that's obviously going to follow the script of its own neurosis and psychosis.
Gotcha. Now, you know, to that point, you tell a story about some nuns in Japan during the recent earthquake and catastrophic event with their nuclear reactor.
Actually, that
nuns
was
if I've got the story correctly, they just simply surrounded themselves with light energy. Tell that story. Share that with us, will you?
Yes, I wanted to put this in the proper historic context. That was in the Hiroshima event of 1945 that Americans going in after the bomb was dropped realized that there were several survivors that did not have any radiation damage, and one was a group of Catholic nuns who had covered themselves with their prayer clothing, white clothing, and were in a deep state of prayer, and some unique, quote-unquote, biophysical miracle took place whereby the radiation did not damage them in the higher state of awareness that they were able to create. I also had the opportunity to work with a survivor of Hiroshima who made it to Los Alamos later in his career, became a noted nuclear physicist who later became aware of the keys of Enoch and recognized that his survival was due to higher states of meditation that he was into. He was a Buddhist background. So the bottom line is here, there are situations where we are faced with a life and death situation that can be transformed.
There are many miraculous stories where just simply covering yourself with a tallit or a prayer shawl has saved many people's lives. Your organization, the Academy for Future Science, works in various areas such as supporting new technologies and sustainable development. But you also have a philosophy about the afterlife and a multidimensional universe. We've touched a little on that, but flesh that out for us. You know, share that cosmology, please.
Well, if we even go back to December 21st, 2012, people said, you know, why don't we think it's the end of the world? We had to argue that quite a bit. One of the reasons is we feel that there is other levels of intelligence. They were not going to leave this planet to just, you know, go by the wayside to have the end of, you know, reality. So we are really interconnected with not only those who have passed over. You can see situations like Danian Brinkley, their experiences in near death, and Raymond Moody's studies, but also with other levels of intelligence who are, we feel, helping the planet, wanting to give us information for new technologies so that we can change the way we use our fossil fuels. They want to give us information on helping us to be able to heal each other and to just move into a greater consciousness reality. We're not alone, and I think that's really important for people because if you really analyze their psychology, most people feel it's only them, they have nothing else. You said many people are moving into the secular, and that's really taking away a lot of the reality of what can help them, what can protect them.
I agree totally. I think this whole movement of secular humanism is eroding the very fiber of what this has made this nation great and what is a great promise for the world. But that's a whole other subject that we could spend the whole show on, and I don't want to. You've mentioned some resources, and I want to make sure that our audience understands this. We've still got about 5 minutes, but before I get into the next couple of questions, let everybody know where your websites are, where they can obtain these resources, how you can direct them to the films that you've talked about, your books, and more information, please.
Right, thank you. Well, our main website is keysofenoch.org, and we also have Facebook as well. And we also divide that into other websites. We have healtheplanet.org. We feel that's really important if people are having, if there's personal issues of health, you know, they can put their prayers out there or prayers for others out there, only ask for first names, not last names, or even for the planet. If there's a storm coming or a tornado or a hurricane or whatever, you know, we can chat about that, put some prayers out. So that's healtheplanet.org. And then we have futurescience.org, and that is some of the science. I think some similar things to what you're doing, the uniqueness of the scientific discoveries that are coming almost daily. It's amazing.
And we also have a plethora of music tapes, CDs.
Yeah, I'm going to go there next. DVDs. That's available. Where I want to take you next, Professor Hertag. So, you know, one of my hobbies for, 30 years now has been cymatics. You know, we can take music and we can look at it visually today, and we can see, you know, how it is either organic or inorganic. And you know, many years ago I was involved in research where we looked at the influence of music on how chickens gave eggs or how cows gave milk, and we discovered, you know, that if you played them discordant sounds, they would, you know, chickens would lay fewer eggs and cows would give less milk, as opposed to playing them what we think of as organic sounds. And some music, like Handel's Messiah, will every single time, doesn't matter who performs it, as long as it's, of course, on key, will displace a perfect five-pointed star during the Hallelujah chorus. Now, you have a lot of music CDs, and you talk a lot about vibrations and a deeper connection between ourselves and music. Flesh that out for us in less than 2 minutes, please.
Yes, well, we have worked with many leading composers. Our new album, Sacred Names, Sacred Codes, is done with Stephen Halpern. We recommend it. It is based upon the Hebrew-Aramaic use of language, but more to the point, our use of music is also connected with sacred geometry and meditation exercises. And this is the thrill of the new book, The Oversoft Awakening. It's based upon what we call cosmograms or cosmic pictures of realizing that we are musical energy and we are able to transform ourselves into what the keys of Enoch call an antenna, cosmic antenna, of broadcasting music and receiving music that oscillates the DNA, every particle of our body, into a musical harmonic that can sustain, can evolve, can expand consciousness.
Right, and so music is the key to vibration. We find it in atoms and all parts of the resonance of the earth. So we need, and it can be healing, and that's very important, I think, for the individual.
Do you use corresponding mandalas as just a part of a meditation process
Yeah, so music is not only vibration, but it's also geometry, because if you take those vibrations, as you said, with cymatics, they showed it very clearly, and it's a development. And every cell in our body is linked by vibration, but it's also linked in geometry, so the two are interconnected. And we have videos as well called Merkava, Light Body, and one called Pathways to the Light, where actually the mandalas come forth with the music.
So your background in semantics would make you an ideal candidate for this new book. As you go into the book, the picture respatializes your consciousness. You go from a third dimension to a higher dimensional awareness, and suddenly you link up what we call the universal mind. You experience the fact of universal love, unconditional love, but also a sense of humility in the awesomeness of creation. And that's really the thrust of our work throughout the world.
We're out of time, Professor. I love your new book, The Overself Awakening. I love the permutations, what you've done with Yod Heh Vav Heh. It's challenging work, and it is definitely worth the investment. I would recommend it to everyone. I'm sorry, but we've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment, and I want to thank all of you for joining us today, and a special thank you to our guests and the team at Hay House Radio that makes this so easy and pleasurable. Until next time, remember, wherever you are, believing in yourself always matters.